KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and as always, I'm very happy you're here. We've had a great pre-show discussion. We're laughing a lot, and I think you're going to really enjoy this show. We've got a couple of great guests with us today, and we're going to be talking about a really unique service effort that a faculty member here at Fresno State is involved in, and it combines her passion and her friend's passion for not only service to the community, but also for yoga. So our first guest is Miss Nayantara Rodriguez. Welcome to the show, Naya.
Hi, thank you.
And joining Naya is Faven Burhi Williams.
Hi, thank you for having us.
We're glad you're here. Thanks for being here. So we're going to be talking about this Namaste for Compassion project. And I want to give Naya a chance to introduce herself, but I want to read something that I think gives you a glimpse into her and her passion for service. It was on her Facebook page recently when I was snooping around trying to find out more information about Namaste for Compassion. And she wrote this. I truly believe in the good of our human spirit. We all want to help, but most of us don't know where to start. Whatever you do with a pure heart, know that it helps. Any spark of light that you can show to others will be the light they see in the darkest of times. Now, Naya, when I read that, I thought to myself, that's a great summary of why and how we should serve. We all have that unique spark, and when we share it, not only our lives are brightened, but the people that we serve, their lives are brightened too. So how about you tell us a little about yourself, and we'll just go from there.
Okay. I work here at Fresno State as an adjunct faculty for the Counselor and Rehabilitation Program, and I'm a mom of two and a wife of, over 10 years now. And I love what I do, which is counseling, being an instructor there. And then I also teach at Old Town Yoga. So I'm also an instructor at Old Town Yoga. And I'm trying to bridge that gap that I often feel is there between mental health and our physical bodies. So yoga is a great bridge for that. So I'm really kind of passionate about that at this moment.
You know, I first learned about your service work in an article that was published in the Fresno State campus newsletter, and I contacted you shortly thereafter. The article was about your efforts to serve kids in India. And before we talk too much about Namaste for Compassion, can you tell us a little about how you came to be so passionate about the issue of poverty and the street kids in India?
Sure, yes. I go to India almost every year to go and visit my in-laws. And every year I would go to India, I would see the street children. They call them street children of India. And they come from different walks of life. I mean, some have been stolen from their parents. Some were sold by their parents. Some are just, you know, have no parents at all and are taken by captors. And literally, some of them have had their arms cut off or their limbs cut off just so they can go out and beg for money, and all that money goes to their captors. And
so they cut an arm off or they injure them so that people will be more compassionate.
Exactly. Right. So they have more sympathy towards them. And I remember the first time we went to India after like 10 years, because I was born there and then we moved here. And 10 years later, we went back with my family, my mom and dad. And I remember I wanted to give this young child that had no limbs some money. And my dad stopped me. And I was so angry. I was like, why? You know, I want to give him this money. And my dad said, no, like, don't do that, because that money is going to go to that captor. It's not going to go to him.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, I still remember that point in my life. And so I wanted to do something even then. But again, I felt like I was too small to like really make an impact to do anything. I didn't know where to start. Mm-hmm. But it always stayed with me. And so every year I'd go back and, you know, we'd see these street children and I always wanted to do something. But again, I just didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
So that's where it was basically formed, is just this like need and want to do something, but I didn't know how.
You were regularly seeing this thing and
right.
You knew you wanted to do something. You just didn't know what yet. And I think, you know, it's not fair to draw comparisons between cultures and poverty and societies and poverty, you know, but obviously here in the U.S., poverty exists and people are living in very, very challenging situations. But the poverty, as I understand it, I haven't visited India, but I've been to other developing countries. The poverty that you see in India is true destitute living situations.
Correct.
Survival.
Right. Correct. Yes.
So, Faven, let's get you in here. I'd love for you to do a little self-introduction and how you got involved and connected with Naya. I think it's a great little story. So maybe you could do a little self-introduction and we'll go from there.
Sure. So me and Nayantara have been friends for over 20-something years, and we met our freshman year in high school in detention. I still don't know how we got in detention because we were such squares, but we met in detention, and Tara says that I just talked a lot, but she seemed nice, I guess, and I just remember looking at her shoes and just didn't understand why she had those shoes on at the time. So we've been friends ever since, and I think we've always shared the same passion to help people, and she knows I've always struggled to like wanting to help the inner city kids in our community, but I just never knew how to start it either, or just had the knowledge, or I don't know, just I didn't know how to help.
Yeah.
And
I
so
think it's right. You don't know where to start.
You don't
That's
know where
your
to start.
Quote. Yeah.
And then you always, I felt like, oh God, if I had all this money, then it'll be so much easier to start it. I could just give money away. But in reality, you don't need much because we didn't have anything when we started Namaste for Compassion. And so when she came up with the idea, she went to India last year, I think. And she came back with a picture. Oh, no, her husband, I think, had gone and took a picture of these children sleeping in the streets. And I sent it to her. And that was it. They were both like, we have to do something. This is just out of hand for us, you know, for them to live here. And, you know, like we have so much. And so that's just how it just started. She just said, let's have a meeting. And a bunch of us got together and started throwing out ideas for our first fundraiser. And that's just kind of how it evolved.
Yeah. You also had this desire to help people. Again, just didn't know where to start, how to put that into action in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
So, Nayantara, then you decided to do something about the issue. And it led you to work with a woman that you have told me about, Sister Dharma. I love that name, Sister Dharma. Will you tell us about her and about the project that you became involved in?
Yes. So we started to have a meeting with Namaste for Compassion as to how we were going to first raise money and then how we would give this money to an organization. But every organization we looked at in India was just these huge organizations. And we didn't want to give our money there because we knew it would just kind of go everywhere. We just didn't know where it would go. Mm-hmm. And with these big organizations, that's what happens a lot of times is you give your money and you just don't know where it's going. So we wanted to directly impact people that needed this, the street children directly, you know. So we ended up, and again, like I feel like the universe or God, whatever you want to believe in, just kind of works for you. And so we put that out there. Like we really want to directly impact this population with our money. We ended up meeting Sister Dharma through a mutual friend of ours that we fully trusted. And it was her aunt that actually is Sister Dharma that started this Balpushpa home about 10 years ago. And she had taken in about 15 street children at that time and still continues to do so, to take care of them, feed them, shelter them, and provide them with love and compassion as well. And we heard about her and we heard she just does it out of a two-bedroom home. So it wasn't even a huge organization. It wasn't even an orphanage. It was mainly this woman by herself taking care of 15 street children all by herself.
Yeah, in a very small, you described it to me, a very small two-bedroom home.
Yes.
Right, we're not talking about 2,000 square feet here.
No. Yeah. No, we're, if you can imagine a two-bedroom apartment with one bathroom and a small two-bedroom apartment with one bathroom and 15 children, that's what I saw there. And that's how we basically got connected with her is through a mutual friend. And we knew once we took on this project, it would directly impact these children. We would know exactly where that money was going and it wouldn't be lost in a huge organization.
And so together you raised how much money during that appeal?
$5,000.
Okay.
And translated to Indian currency. I'm not good at math, so I don't know how much that was, but every $1, right? Every $1 transfers to 65 rupees. So 5,000 times 65 is what we gave her. And we just didn't give her the money. We had first asked her for a list of all of the supplies she needed, and we bought all of the supplies she needed, but we did it in a very limited amount because there was just no room for storage there because it's such a small apartment. So we got her everything she needed, a small amount of it, and the rest we gave her currency because she could use that for medical supplies, school, clothes, anything that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because in India, these street children, they're not covered by the government. So school has to be paid for. Medical supplies have to be paid for. Even going to the doctor, it all has to come out of her pocket.
So no public education, no public health care. I mean, they can access those things, but they have to pay for it. And there is no money for these 15 kids and thousands like them, unfortunately.
Yes.
So you got this group together, Faven. And what was this collection, this ragtag collection of people? All people from ninth grade that got in detention together? Or who was part of Namaste for Compassion at that point in time?
At the time, it was a lot of her former students that came to the meeting and a few personal friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it started.
And it was just an idea, right? It wasn't a formal organization at that point in time, correct?
Correct. It was like, we just showed up and Tara was like, listen, guys, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I want to help and let's just try it. And we came up with our first fundraiser was a yard sale, a community yard sale. We made over $1,000, I think. And we just thought we were going to make like $300 or $400, but it was over $1,000. And then we had a yoga fundraiser. And that was when everybody showed up. And we assumed like maybe 10 people would show up and be us and like our friends. But we had such a huge turnout and people were just so supportive. It was just amazing.
This yoga piece and the connection with Old Town Yoga and that first fundraiser. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Our connection with Old Town Yoga has been really wonderful because Desiree Heckman, who's the founder of Old Town Yoga and the owner, she has been extremely supportive with us. So she has allowed us to use the studio for free. 100% of the proceeds for all of our fundraisers held there go towards us. And she's a big believer of the community and a huge believer of even counseling, mental health. She also is a Fresno State alumni. Went to the master's program here for counseling.
Oh, okay.
And so she understands the need for it and has been extremely supportive in all of our ventures.
And so you had that first fundraiser, a yoga class that people would pay. And we'll talk about another one that's coming up, as a matter of fact. How many people were there?
There were approximately 37 to 40 people there.
Fill up the room, huh?
Yes. Yeah. And again, as Faven was saying, we thought there would be maybe 15 of us showing up. We really didn't know what to expect. But as I started to see the room fill up and, we were running out of mats, it was really just amazing, amazing feeling that people can come together for this wonderful cause and still benefit themselves as they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think it's important, to recognize that this was an effort that everybody was coming together, right? And Faven, you said it wasn't like you had a lot of money that you could personally write the check. You were relying on a lot of people's generosity, including Desiree's and Old Town Yoga. Great yoga studio in Clovis. I go there. I should go there more often, but I go there about once a week or so. And it's just a really great place. And they have another fundraiser coming up. You guys have set up another fundraiser and Desiree is allowing you to do the same kind of thing. You want to talk about that event?
Sure. We are going to have a Yoga for Mats fundraiser April 14th. And it's at 5:30 to 7. It's 90-minute yoga and meditation class, and it's $20 per person. So it's a great price for what you're getting.
Yeah.
I will be the assisting instructor for about half of it. And then Crystal Yoyeno, who is another instructor at Old Town Yoga, she's also part of Namaste for Compassion. She's going to be leading the class and the meditation piece. So the profits we get from this fundraiser, we're going to buy our own yoga mats for Namaste for Compassion. And what we plan on doing is to provide free yoga to people that really need it, that can benefit from it. So
youth, individuals in trauma situations. In fact, you mentioned a term, trauma-focused yoga, I want to talk about a little bit. But to anybody in need, organizations, individuals.
Yes, and specifically the mental health field, because I feel like there's so many people that would benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
Youth or children or mothers or fathers or families that would really benefit from using yoga as a tool for their mental health.
That mind-body connection in mental health that is well documented in the research and the literature, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So we want to, with these mats, provide this for the community and also mental health providers to show them that yoga can be a tool that's used for their clients. And all of this, we're hoping, will be a free service for the community.
So you're taking the project that you initially started with serving street kids in India, and now you're realizing that, you know, look, you can combine your passion, your knowledge of counseling and mental health, your passion for yoga, and you can serve our own community at the same time. It doesn't mean you won't still also at some point in time serve the street children in India, but now you're turning your focus more locally, right?
Correct. When we first started Namaste for Compassion, we felt like all of the communities need something. They need that light of hope. So we are still going to be helping the street children in India through our GoFundMe page and, you know, other efforts that we're going to be utilizing to help them. Mm-hmm. Yet we are also wanting to focus here in our community because we feel like there's so much here that can really benefit from our services.
The event on the 14th, before we leave that, if somebody doesn't know anything about yoga, they've never been to a yoga class before.
Right.
They can still come, right?
For sure. I heard the quote somewhere, or somebody has said to me, it's not about being flexible. So going to yoga, it's not about having a flexible body. It's about having a flexible mind. So if you open up your heart and you just open up your mind and you try something different, you're not going to leave there feeling bad that you came.
Right.
You're
going
to leave feeling better. So it's not about, you know, what you can accomplish in there. It's really about providing and supporting and helping not just like your community, but also yourself when you go.
Yeah. And I think one of the confusions is, you said it, I've heard before, well, I can't go to yoga because I'm not flexible enough. And you think of the yogis and these Gumby moves that they do, and I have to be able to do that. No, you don't. You want to stand and watch and just shake your head and say, that's not right. How does somebody do that? You can do that, but it really is the flexible mind. It's about going through and just being there and being mindful, mm-hmm. and certainly the flexibility and the fitness that comes along with being involved in yoga on a regular basis. But I think it's important for people to know they don't have to be somebody who's experienced in yoga in order to go to this thing.
Not at all. And Crystal and I are going to make it where it's very friendly for beginners and all levels. So we're going to give different options from, you know, beginning level. And then if you want more, we'll give you options for that.
Yeah.
And so anybody can come, even if it's your first time.
Faven?
I was just going to say, I was very close-minded when it came to yoga. I was like, there's no way you won't ever see me doing that. I would go with her once in a while, but it wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
And so I did not have a flexible mind. However, when I did start going on a regular basis, it wasn't what I assumed it would be, which is what everybody assumes, where, you know, they're over here standing on one pinky and balancing themselves.
And ohms and spiritual.
Yes,
and it's almost a religious thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it was completely the opposite. And so I just do encourage those that feel that this is not for me, there's no way, just to give it a try. It's not going to hurt you, but it's definitely flexible mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who have a lot of misconceptions about yoga.
A lot.
It isn't just mind. It isn't just religion or spiritualness, but it also isn't just body. It's not going in and banging weights in a gym just to get big and strong or to, you know, improve your cardiovascular health. It's a lot of things, and people can sort of mold it and make it what they want.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. And I really do believe, again, I was totally closed-minded. Whatever you learn in yoga, you can take that out into your personal lives. And that is why we're so passionate about yoga and helping, you know, the mental health community or whatever, because it transcends into your everyday life.
And we've talked about this idea of trauma-focused yoga. Can you explain that a little bit as a mental health professional and as a yoga instructor?
Yes. So a lot of times in our lives, we store a lot of our emotions in our bodies. And, you know, this is proven scientifically. It's in research literature.
When you're stressed,
everywhere.
Your blood pressure goes up. You have tension. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So a lot of us, we store this in our bodies, but specifically victims of trauma, same thing. They're storing it in their bodies. And so yoga through the breath and prana, we call it, this energy, this life force, we can help to work those parts of ourselves that hold on to this trauma. But working with that actual population, specifically, we have to be mindful of how we even engage with them. And then also small things like being mindful of just creating a safe space for them and where they are in their lives at that moment and with their trauma, and just being mindful of also small things like adjustments, which we usually do in regular yoga classes. We can't just do adjustments on victims of trauma. We have to be very careful. And
where you place your hands. So when you talk about adjustments, just if nobody's ever been to a yoga class before, say, you know, okay, your shoulders aren't in just the right position. So you'll have somebody come over and gently sort of move your shoulders in just in slightly a different position, or encourage you to move your hands forward or back or whatever else it is. And with somebody who's been in trauma, maybe a molestation victim or something like that, you can't just walk up and put your hands on them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So one of the things I also wanted to ask about is, you have this connection now. You had this desire to do something for the street kids in India. You've created this group, this Namaste for Compassion group. You've got a vision for it becoming an organization and doing a lot more. But one of the things is connecting it back here to our community. I'm also wondering, how do you connect that into your teaching? You know, you're a faculty member here at Fresno State. Do you bring these kinds of experiences and service back into the classroom and talk to students about the importance of service and those kinds of things?
I do, but it's not as you would imagine it. I talk about what I've done, and I always tell them you can use counseling as a way to really help your community, but I really, really focus on a service to themselves. And it's interesting because a lot of my students, including myself, got into the counseling field to help others. But we really forget that to help others, we need to help ourselves first. And we need to be really, really mindful of who we are first and know ourselves first before we can start to go out there and help others.
If we're not healthy, we can't help others to be healthy.
Exactly. And a lot of us get into the counseling field because we are used to being that role in our family, in our friends' lives, and giving ourselves 100%, but really not taking anything back for ourselves.
Yeah.
So a big portion of my teaching is teaching my students how important it is to really know themselves and really be okay with who they are, and forgiveness and shame and all those things that they work through during the program, so they can help to extend that to others.
Well, and you talked about, again, in that quote that I read at the beginning of the show, that if you provide that spark of light to someone else through service, the spark, that brightness grows in you and in them.
Right.
And so that's that part about taking care of themselves through serving others also. I'm curious, Faven, for you, how's that spark in your own person been flamed by being involved in Namaste for Compassion? What's this service component done for you?
It's taught me that if you have the right intentions in servicing others, things just kind of fall into place. It's taught me that you don't need much to do a lot.
Yeah, you know, there's a great quote from Mother Teresa, and I'm going to butcher it, something along the lines of, you know, we're not called to do great things.
Yeah.
You know, we're called to provide great love to others. And
exactly.
And I think that that's what you're saying, right? We don't need $1 million. We don't need to invest 50 hours a week in serving others. We can do it a little at a time, and that creates that beauty all around us, I think.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you, I think there's something amazing about Fresno State's commitment to service. I mean, certainly we chronicle all the time on this show the service benefits that Fresno State provides to the Central Valley. But here we have a faculty member, you know, Nayantara, who combines her teaching, her role as a counseling professional, with a love of yoga, a concern for kids on the other side of the world, a concern for people here. You know, I think there are definitely, as you've talked about, lessons in yoga about the interconnectedness in all of us. And, you know, that idea that you shared about we need to foster the healthiness in ourselves before we can serve others. But also, you know, we have a connection to the people that are 2 feet away from us and people that are thousands of miles away. So this idea of namaste, I'm going to butcher that also, but this, you know, the inner light in me bows or recognizes the inner light in you. So I just want to say to both of you, you know, namaste. Thank you for the great work you're doing in our community.
Thank you.
Certainly, again, April 14th, it's going to be 5:30 to 7 p.m. at Old Town Yoga. How can they sign up?
They can go on the Old Town Yoga website and look under the schedule, and they can sign up that way, or they can download the Mind Body app, and you would look up Old Town Yoga. You would go to April 14th, and there would be an event there. You just press on that event, and then you'd sign up through that. So it's a very easy And you can show up the day of, but we're not guaranteed, you know, a spot. Yeah. We don't know how many people are coming. So we always encourage signing up so we know you have a spot and you will get in.
Yeah, I would encourage people. I think you're getting a lot of traction in your program and I'll bet it's going to fill up. So
yes.
Sign up now. In addition to those routes, going to Old Town Yoga or going to the MindBody app, we will definitely post on our Facebook site the flyer and they'll be able to get the information there as well. So by all means.
Thank you.
That's about it for our time together. Thanks again to our guests, Nayantara Rodriguez and Faven Williams of Namaste for Compassion. Thank you to each of you and every one of you for listening to today's show and for listening every time that we have one of these great shows on KFSR. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program. Also, don't forget, like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. That's at FS Service in Action. We'll post information about the Yoga for Mats event on April 14th. We'll share some pictures of Naya's work in India, as well as Namaste for Compassion connections and photos and much more. And it's a great opportunity to drop us a note also and talk to us about the show and what you think and to connect with our work here and what you're doing out in the community as well. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and we're streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.